Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome into another episode of Tailgate Talk SEC. I am Will Thomas. Today, going to have a Week 10 preview. I'm going to open it up with some coaching talk because this coaching carousel, it's incredibly fun to discuss, obviously. And there's just so many potential ways that this goes. Like, I was on a podcast yesterday, and I talked myself into the possibility of 10 different jobs being open. It's possible that we see 10, it won't happen because that's like a doomsday scenario, but 10 jobs you have reason to believe they could open up. We will get into that. Let's open up with Brian Kelly real quick. All the Tim Brando jokes aside, this was clearly a very toxic situation at LSU. I mean, I have never seen former players and current players and staffers take a victory lap on a guy being fired like I have with Brian Kelly. It is very clear that he was not respected, that he was not liked by a lot of the people who were under him, which is obviously a hindsight. You can see it wasn't a fit, and some of the warning signs were there with this guy, but it's really jarring to see that a team where he had LSU winning games, like they were performing well, but to have that lack of respect for the guy, especially after he was on a documentary, like you didn't really get the vibe that he was not liked in the SEC documentary, but clearly it was true. So it really is nuts to see that, you know, that's what was clearly going on behind the scenes. It was a toxic environment. There was no accountability. And I feel like there's going to be a big time weight lifted off of LSU's players and the rest of their staff now that he's gone. And we could see a different LSU team coming out of their bye. They do have to go to Tuscaloosa to start this run after Brian Kelly in 2 weeks. So we'll see how that goes. But it's clearly a big win for LSU that Kelly's gone. And in terms of who I think they could go after, I mean, obviously, you have Lane Kiffin at the top of the board. He's at the top of every single board that exists right now. He is the hottest commodity, so Lane Kiffin is up there. I think, John Summerall is up there, obviously. The head coach at Tulane, he's obviously a Louisiana guy, so he'll get the culture, he'll get the fit, and he's a proven winner, and he has head coaching experience. A guy who doesn't have head coaching experience that I was interested in for LSU was Joe Brady. Now, he was their passing game coordinator and receivers coach officially in 2019 when they won the championship. He had his hands on way more of the offense than just what that title would imply. And he helped to develop, you know, some of the greatest offensive players in college of all time in Burrow and those receivers. He knows LSU. He understands what it takes at LSU to be great. He knows what a winning program there looks like. And he's currently the OC with the Buffalo Bills in the NFL. His name has been tossed around with a lot of head coaching vacancies, potential vacancies at least, in college. Now, he doesn't love recruiting. That's been a public statement of his. I wonder if that dislike goes away when LSU says, here's $11 million a year. And the reason that I also bring up Brady is because he'll be cheaper than Kiffin. He'll be cheaper than Summerall. Like, he has no head coaching experience. He doesn't really have ties to any of these other programs where I think it'll be a bidding war for him. I think you can get Brady at a bit of a discount, but you still know what you're getting. You're getting an offensive guy who knows what he's doing, and LSU is going to have that baseline talent to where you can trust, like, Brady's going to have guys that can do what he wants them to do. So I think Joe Brady is an interesting name to watch for LSU. Moving on, let's just discuss some Lane Kiffin stuff. First of all, the video after the Oklahoma game where he's, like, walking off the field, he points down at the field. If you believe that he said, I'm staying or I'm not going anywhere, I've got a beachfront house in Iowa to sell you. That's obviously not what he said. He was fired up. And what I will say about that game for Lane is that it ran up the check. Because now you've got Ole Miss probably going to the playoff. Maybe going to Atlanta. He got himself paid more for whoever's going to employ him next year because of that win and because of what it's going to cause. I truly believe, though, that he's not going to be at Ole Miss next year because with Florida and LSU both open, I don't understand how he could pass up both of those. I think they're both better jobs. I think the ceiling is higher. I think he will want to move up. You know, I think he'll really want to be at one of those programs. I don't see Lane sticking at Ole Miss next year. I think he's going to one of those two vacancies, and if I had to guess right now, I'd say Florida. So Lane, I think it's gonna keep being this back and forth of, yeah, he's gonna come to Florida. No, he's not. He might go to LSU. He's staying. It's gonna be that kind of roller coaster. I think at the end of the day, Lane will be a Gator. Mark Stoops at Kentucky. I think he's done. I'll talk about it in my preview for the greatest game of the week, by the way, Kentucky-Auburn. I think Stoops is going to be done because of just what this year is. I think he's out of gas. But Kentucky is kind of a good job as a sort of a stepping stone job for maybe a coordinator to become a head coach at Kentucky, prove that you can win and then move up, because you get SEC resources, you get an SEC salary, you're at a program that takes football seriously enough, and you're only expected to win 7 games a year. If you go 8-4 at Kentucky, they're going to build you a statue. That is the kind of job it is, where you get the resources in a program that you've seen, like, they've won 9 games in the past, they've won 10 games in the past. All you got to do is win 8, and you are going to be revered in Lexington forever. So it really is a good job from that aspect, but also just a stepping stone for, like, maybe a Manny Diaz to coach in the SEC and prove he can do it. Or just for a coordinator to get their first head coaching gig, run that program, have them succeed a little bit, and then move up. Kentucky's not a bad job. Shane Beamer at South Carolina. I thought it was total coaching malpractice to lose the Alabama game. I had a large rant on the Sunday show about what I thought went wrong, the decisions that I thought went wrong, and just what I thought was dumb, what I thought was stupid. And people are kind of losing patience with him. They are. We're at a point now, though, where I'll talk about Auburn a little bit, too. It might not be a great year to go fire a coach, because you have Florida and LSU and Penn State who are already open. Florida State might open. There are so many jobs that are a higher caliber than South Carolina and Auburn, and granted, even Kentucky, that are already open and are already now doing their due diligence, making some phone calls, gauging interest, getting in some guys' pockets. It's going to be hard, but I mean, for Shane Beamer, if there's this much animosity in Columbia, if it's just not working out, why wouldn't you just go home to Virginia Tech? Why wouldn't you do what everyone thinks is going to happen eventually? Just go coach the Hokies. And the pushback on that is, well, you've got Lenore Sellers, if you're Carolina, and Sellers loves Beamer. If you get rid of Beamer, you're getting rid of a generational guy who really no program sees that often, but Carolina especially, they don't see him that often. You know, you're kind of setting your team back. My counter to that is, I don't think you should ever keep a coach because of talent, because right now, look at what the marriage is. You have Beamer, you have Sellers, this is what's going on. The offense is the worst in the SEC. So why would you keep Beamer just for the sake of keeping Sellers if this is the product? You have to get rid of Beamer, bring in a new guy, because Sellers can't leave until you have a new guy, and see if they can make it work. If not, Sellers will go, and that will suck, but look at where your team is at right now with him. He's a really fun player to watch, and he's an absolute alien. I think he'll be a high draft pick whenever he goes, but you can't just cling on to the fact that look at how cool this guy is if it's not working. So I think Beamer has to go at Carolina. And then for Auburn and Florida State, I kind of brought those two up. Do they need to wait? And I think that question applies also to Carolina to an extent, and Kentucky, because so many big jobs are open. So are these schools willing to roll the dice with a Group of Five coach who might not be some role at Silverfield, right? Who might be just a coordinator. Like, I think Kane Womack, Bama DC, he's a name. I think one of these schools will go after him. This coaching carousel is going to be so nuts. You're probably going to see a team or two who should fire their coach. Like, I'm kind of looking at Wisconsin with Luke Fickell. Maybe hold on to the guy. Because, like, who can we get right now, feasibly, that is actually going to be an upgrade than who we have? Even if we go 5-7 this year, even if we go 4-8. You know, who is a guy that we can confidently say, you are better than the guy we currently have? I think a school or two might say the guy we have right now is better, and we're just going to wait a cycle and see what happens. But this coaching carousel is going to get nuts. Let's get into some football. We got 6 games this week in the SEC. 2 of them absolutely blow. 2 of them absolutely blow. I'm going to be watching them. They'll be on the TV. But let's discuss this Kentucky and Auburn game. Thank goodness I got a primetime slot. This is a night kick in Jordan Hare. Auburn laying 10.5 with a total of 44.5. These teams are 15th and 13th in total offense. They are 16th and 14th passing the ball. They're actually okay running the ball. Middle of the pack, both teams are. So you'll see more of a ground attack than an air attack. This game is going to suck. This game is going to be so boring to watch. And we don't know yet who's playing quarterback for Auburn. Because Jackson Arnold and Ashton Daniel, they're battling it out this week in camp. They're competing for it. So Auburn has quarterback questions. I think if you're Hugh Freeze, you have to go with Daniel. You have to hope you find a spark, win some games. Because if Auburn's able to win, they have two hard games. They play at Vandy. If they beat Kentucky, they can still lose to Vandy, go beat Mercer. And then if they find a way to beat Alabama and Jordan Hare with Ashton Daniel at quarterback, all of a sudden, if you're Hugh Freeze in Auburn, you're like, look at how crowded this coaching market is. Let's just hold on to him. He found a spark. So if you're Hugh Freeze, I think you have to go with Daniel in the name of getting a spark and trying to save your own job. And Cutter Bowley at Kentucky, their offense is coming off of a great game at home against Tennessee, moving the ball. On the road versus Auburn is way different. Because Tennessee's defense blows. There's no way around it right now. It sucks. Auburn's doesn't. So I think Kentucky's offense is going to have a way worse time this week against the Tigers. I think it's a Mark Stoops farewell game. You know, I think if nothing else after this game, maybe you get an announcement that's like, you know, Stoops is going to step down at the end of this year. But we're going to have him coach out the rest. Like, just give him some sort of farewell. He's been there long enough. He's done good enough. I think you can kind of give him that instead of just, like, firing him on a Sunday and watching him drive off into the distance. So I do think in this game, Auburn strings together a second win in a row, maybe with a spark at quarterback and Ashton Daniel, maybe even Deuce Knight. Put Deuce Knight in the game, Hugh. We all want to see him play. But just give me Auburn. I think Kentucky's job opens up, or at least is, you know, going to open up after this game. Mississippi State at Arkansas. Arkansas favored by 4.5, total at 67.5. This is the highest total in the conference this week by, I think, over 10 points. One second. By 11 points, yeah. This game, this one's going to be fun to watch. Offensively, Arkansas ranks second in the SEC in total offense. Mississippi State is 8th. Defensively, Arkansas is 16th. They are the worst defense in the SEC in yards per game, and Mississippi State is 12th. Who is getting a stop? Seriously, who is going to get a stop? I think the best defensive chance that either team has is Mississippi State. They lead the SEC in interceptions. They've picked other teams off 11 times. That's where it has to be. Because we saw Arkansas, they've had Taylen Green, you know, problems with picks in the past. They had 4 fourth quarter turnovers last week against Auburn. 3 of them were picks to lose that game. So I think that's where they can get got. But Arkansas, can they just lean on the run? They're second in the SEC with 205 rush yards per game, 6.1 yards per carry. And those numbers took a massive hit against Auburn last week. They could not run the ball at all against the Tigers. But Mississippi State defensively, they're 14th in rush defense, allowing 152 rush yards per game, 4.2 yards per carry. I think Mike Washington and Taylen Green can just kind of do what they want on the ground. This game is going to be points galore. I would say over. I think over will be one of my best bets this week, which were great last week. I went 1-4. But whichever team has the ball last probably wins. I think that's how we see this. Both teams are 0-4 in the SEC. Arkansas, if you can find a desperation angle, they need to win out for a bowl game. So I think you can give me them at home. I'll go like 41-35 Arkansas in just the lowest quality shootout you've ever seen in your life. Next one. This game, I think, could be a little interesting. In one of those games that you're just like, you look at your phone, you check the score. Let's put it on the TV for a second. South Carolina at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is laying 12.5 right now. 54.5 is the total. Ole Miss is now a solidified contender in my mind after that game against Oklahoma. They weren't from before that. Those 60 minutes did what they had to do for me to be convinced that they can cruise into the playoff. They've been in this spot before. We saw it last year. They were in a spot where just win the game you're supposed to win and you'll make the playoff. And then they didn't. You need to avoid a letdown spot at home this year. Like Kentucky, that can't happen again for a lot of reasons. But this has a similar vibe. I know it's later in the year than the Kentucky game was, but it's a similar vibe. Going against a South Carolina team who is now off a heartbreaking loss versus Alabama, who is the worst in the SEC in total offense, while Ole Miss is third with 37 points per game compared to 20 points per game per South Carolina. And two iffy defenses, right? Carolina is 11th in the conference, Ole Miss is 13th. Can we get some back and forth? South Carolina's offense, I just said it, they are the worst in the SEC in yards per game. They've played 3 of the top 4 defenses, and also number 8 and number 9. So they've been playing the upper half of defense in the league. The one bad defense that they played was Kentucky, and they scored 35. Ole Miss's defense is not good. Do we get a performance like that out of Carolina where they're able to perform against a lesser defense? Or is there a world that they're out of gas? Because this Carolina team is not playing good. It seemed like that was their best effort against Bama last week, and they came up short. Can they go on the road now and get up for another one? I mean, Beamer's good at this. He's good at the motivating part. I don't like him there X's and O's wise, as I just said, but it's going to be interesting. This is just also a letdown spot for Ole Miss. You're just on the road in Oklahoma. You're kind of conquering some of the coaching rumors, right? Because that was the first week that really came out. You're on the road against a great defense. That's where it could happen. I wonder if there's some just an exhale for this game and just kind of go out. I talked about it when Washington State went to Ole Miss. Ole Miss had to play Wazoo. Wazoo got to play Ole Miss. I wonder if it's the same thing now where Ole Miss is coming home. They're obligated to play Carolina. Carolina gets to play Ole Miss. I wonder if we get a similar thing there. I think Carolina keeps it close. I don't think they win, but I'll say 31-28. I think this game is close. I think it's scary. I think you'll get a lot of eyes on it late when the score populates on your phone and you see it's close. So give me Ole Miss tight, but I think that Carolina's able to keep it tight. Have some water real quick. Just exhausting, this job. Just so exhausting. Vandy at Texas. Texas, I believe the live line is now 2.5. Total in the mid-40s. Texas is finally coming home. They haven't played a game in Austin since September 20th. This game is going to be played in November. They didn't have a home game all of October because they were at Florida bye week, Norman, at Kentucky, at Mississippi State. Sorry, not Norman. The Red River game for Oklahoma. They haven't played a home game since September 20th when it was UTEP, I think, or Sam Houston. That's psychotic. But Vanderbilt, they're off of back-to-back emotional home wins against ranked teams. The big news on Monday was that Arch was in concussion protocol. I'd imagine he plays. I don't know if I care either way. Arch hasn't been good. And Matthew Caldwell, ironically, has looked pretty good when he's had to go in the game. So I don't think that the Arch thing is even going to sway what I think of this game at all, whether he plays or not. Texas, they struggled with Kentucky and Mississippi State in back-to-back weeks. I was on the road. So now you get to come home. There's sort of the idea of, okay, we'll play better. We're finally home, right? We're off just a ridiculous travel schedule. I think we're at a point now in the year where teams are what they are, and we're no longer in a just figure it out. You know, now we'll iron out the kink situation. It's going to be November when they play this game. You are what you are at this point. Texas's offense is 10th in points per game in the SEC, while Vandy is second. So now they might look slow, and I mean, Vandy does on offense. They just kind of run the ball, and there's so much Pavia hate. Like, get him out of the Heisman conversation. Guys, he's leading an offense that is 7-1 and scoring 38 points per game. This is what the Heisman discussion is. It's players who are playing at a great level that lead their team to wins, and if you're on offense, you produce a lot of points. Find me where Pavia is not doing that. Now, it is mostly on the ground. Vandy's getting 203 rush yards per game, but he's a big part of that. And in this match specifically, Texas has the best rush defense in the SEC, only giving up 83.1 points per game. Now, Missouri, their rush defense holds teams to 90 per game. They really stifled Vanderbilt on the ground outside of one explosive play. So can Texas do the same? And on the other side, how much can Texas actually score? They found some sort of a spark late against Mississippi State, really thanks to, I mean, they scored well, but Ryan Niblett returning punts is just absurd. But that unit is just not inspiring at all. And if they're going to move the ball effectively on the Commodores, it has to be through the air. Vandy's 11th in pass defense in yards per game in the SEC, and they're not good at picking you off. They're not going to force a lot of turnovers through the air. And both Mississippi State and Kentucky are worse than that, which is worth noting. Kentucky did good. State fell apart. Texas is just so weird with how much talent there is and the range of performance they put out. They can look great, and then they can look terrible. And that's what you've seen. You've seen an inconsistent team that just makes me not confident at all picking this game. Because I can't imagine this game even getting into the high 20s. I think it's close. I think it's an absolute war. I'm inclined to lean Texas. Because Vanderbilt's last road game was at Bama. The offense played poorly. Pavia had 2 turnovers. Texas isn't Bama. Defensively, I think they are, though. So I think that might still apply. Right now, I'll say Texas 20-17. I could wake up tomorrow and think Vandy by the same score. But for right now, I'm going to lean the Longhorns. I just think Vandy has to lose another game because of their schedule. No one in the SEC is going to go better than 11-1. And that's what Vandy would do if they went out. I think that they lose this game, probably the last game they drop. I think I like them against Tennessee. We'll see how that goes, though. So give me Texas right now. Let's go to Jacksonville. Florida, Georgia. Georgia favored by 7.5. Total is at 50.5. We've got a different Billy in charge of the Gators in Gainesville. Billy Gonzalez, the wide receiver coach, who's been at Florida forever. He is now the interim. Ryan O'Hara, the quarterback coach, is the new play caller for Florida. So where I'm at with the play calling changes, can't be worse. It can't be worse. So we know the talent profile of this offense, and we can look at the play calling and say it has to be a certain degree better than what we've seen. So why not expect a decent offensive showing out of Florida? Because we know how good this team is on paper, and we off a bye week. Last time they were off a bye week, they put up 29 against Texas, which is a better defense than Georgia. So I think we can expect a pretty good offensive showing out of the Gators. And teams who have fired coaches, they've come out and played really well. We saw UCLA beat Penn State. Virginia Tech has had a bit of a rejuvenation. They've played solid. Do we get a similar effort from Florida? You know, kind of taking down a much higher ranked team than them. And because there are holes in Georgia's defense that Florida can exploit. Georgia is 12th in the SEC in pass defense, and they don't generate any pressure. They are last in the SEC in sacks, which is crazy to say for a Georgia defense. On the other side, though, for Georgia, their offensive strength is running the ball. They're 5th in the SEC in rush offense. Florida is just middle of the pack in stopping it. Does Gunnar Stockton, though, does he play as well as he did against Ole Miss? Because that was a Heisman-caliber game he put up against the Rebels at home 2 weeks ago. And Florida's defense versus Ole Miss, much better. Much better. I think they can limit him a little bit more, both in the air and on the ground. Kind of keep him in the pocket. That's what you have to do. Because Stockton, he's a really good game manager, throwing the ball around and making smart decisions. If you lose contain, he'll shred you like a dual-threat quarterback, like a prototypical one. Because he doesn't always play like one, but he has the legs to run like a prototypical dual-threat quarterback, so you have to keep him in the pocket. Predicting this game is not easy, because rivalries, man, they get so weird. And I do think that we get inspired showing out of Florida, because Georgia is good, but if you look up to down, this is not, they're not head and shoulders above this Gators team like they have been the past 2 to 3 years, talent-wise. Because Florida's roster, it is so good. We've seen it when it's played well. Like, this offense is unbelievable. This defense, there's so many playmakers. I think they rally behind Billy Gonzalez, and I think they go get it done. Give me Gators 31-27. I think this is just one of those results where you look at it, and it's kind of the ultimate, like, dude, the SEC is just wild. No team is head and shoulders above anybody else. And I think Florida gets a big win against Georgia, something to really ignite this season and give Gator fans something to smile about. In the last game, Oklahoma at Tennessee. Tennessee is laying 3.5. I think maybe it's 4.5 now, but something like that. Total in the 50s. It's a weird line to me because Oklahoma's offense looks broken. And they gave up 34 points to the first good offense that they've played in Ole Miss. Gave up 315 yards through the air. There is not a worse offense to play if you don't fully have faith in your secondary than Tennessee. And that's where Oklahoma is. Aguilar just threw for 396 yards and 3 scores on the road against Kentucky. Now, Oklahoma is tied for first in the SEC in pass defense. I don't believe that. I believe their defense is good overall. The best defense that they played before Ole Miss was Michigan. Michigan does, I mean, Bryce Underwood is throwing the ball for like 85 yards a game. That is not a passing offense. And we saw Ole Miss, I just said it, they threw for 315 in Norman. A good passing offense can clearly go get this Oklahoma defense. So I'm a little worried we're going to see that again. Could they stop Tennessee's offense with pressure? Because Tennessee is 4th in the SEC in sacks allowed in the good way. Right, Aguilar's only been sacked 9 times on the year. So I really wonder what Oklahoma's answer is defensively. On the other side, Tennessee's defense, brutal. So bad. No matter how bad Oklahoma's pass defense could be in this game, Tennessee's will be worse. There's already grades as the worst pass defense in the SEC. They just gave up 30-plus to Kentucky and Cutter Bowley. Oklahoma, middle of the pack in pass offense, it hasn't been there as of recent. I mean, when your quarterback has surgery on his throwing hand, that does happen. I'm not sold that running the ball either is going to be something they can lean on. I mean, Xavier Robinson had a good second half against Ole Miss. Will they commit to it? You know, can they commit to letting Robinson get some carries? And when they see it not work, does that discourage them from ever establishing the run again? Because against this secondary, if you're able to run the ball a good bit and crowd the box, Deion Burks and Isaiah Satania will be able to separate and will be able to be open. But will you commit to the run to allow that to happen? And can John Mateer hit the open guy? On the last drive against Ole Miss, we saw him miss several open guys. So can he just be calm, especially on the road in Neyland, and can he make the throws he has to make? Both teams have two losses in this game. They both need to win it if they want to stay in playoff contention. My heart really wants to pick Oklahoma because of all the stock I put in them in the preseason. Everything in my brain says, well, you got to calm down. Give me Tennessee, 34-27. I think the Vols get this one done. I think their offense is going to have a good day against this Oklahoma defense that previously has been one of the greatest, the best in the country. But when you zoom out and look at who they've played, the first good offense they play lit them up. So I think this Oklahoma defense, they're not fraudulent, but they're not as good as they look either. So give me Tennessee to win this game by about a score at home. That'll do it. That is the Week 10 preview and just some more coaching talk. Man, this week, it got a few boring games, but I think the good games are going to be really good. I think you get a great showing in Austin, a great showing in Knoxville, and a great game in Jacksonville. The other three, just don't worry about them. Just don't worry about them. The Ole Miss game should be close, but we got fewer great games, but still some great games nonetheless this week in the SEC and across college football. Thank you guys so much for watching. If you did enjoy the video, please subscribe. And I've been Will Thomas, and I will see you next time.